D Mace Vingan and Donick 1025 1063 the game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, now joined by Tim Hasselbeck. By the way, undefeated 6-0 head coach of the Ensworth Tigers, Tim Hasselbeck.
Had to make sure to... I thought I liked the the intro music, but I like the sound of that better.
All right, we can clip that and play that and update it every week for you, Tim.
You are only one of two head coaches in the state of Tennessee that is undefeated.
Is that
at least in my mind. You and Heupel. So you're in good company.
You know, Josh and I are the same draft class. Josh and I have both aged really well.
There you go.
He looks good. I look good. You know what I mean? So, let's go.
Tim, of course, we're discussing what happened last night in the Titans' win against the Dolphins. Will Levis leaves injured. Mason Rudolph comes in. The word I used to describe him was competent. Nothing flashy about his game, but he got the job done for the Tennessee Titans in defeating the Miami Dolphins. What was your analysis of what you saw from Mason Rudolph when he came in the game last night?
Yeah, I think I would be more complimentary than competent because I think it's hard. I think sometimes we maybe, take for granted, what it's like to be thrown in the game when, you're not being prepared to be in the game, right? And so I think anytime a quarterback can come in off the bench in a game and you're, a few weeks into the season, so, you haven't been getting significant reps, meaningful reps, and you can come in and help your team win, I think that's a big deal. I think it's a really big deal. And so that's why I think I would be more complimentary in terms of what Mason Rudolph was able to do. To me, it seemed like for the most part he was making good decisions. He was playing on time. Look, the excitement you saw from Brian Callahan in terms of, getting, the big play before the half, to have an opportunity to kick the field goal. Like, those are things that's hard to do, period. Never mind if you haven't been getting the work or you're coming off the bench. So I think when you look at that, some pretty encouraging stuff out of Mason Rudolph.
Brian Callahan, after the game, was unequivocal that when Will Levis is healthy, he's the Titans' starting quarterback. I understand as well that Brian Callahan has to tread lightly. He doesn't want to leave any opening for a quarterback controversy in the public, though it's not going to stop us from discussing it. Mm-hmm. Was that the right decision by Brian Callahan to throw his weight behind Will Levis the way that he did after the game?
Yeah, because he can change his mind. Because he's in charge, and I think that's the key, right? So, if he would have said, we're going to evaluate it, see how Will feels like that. Once that gets done, now all of a sudden, boom, QB controversy in Tennessee. And so I think that's saying, Will Levis is our guy, we'll see how he feels and hopefully he's healthy and we get him back, sooner rather than later. And you just say, hey, he's our guy. Well, now at that point, you're right. We'll still talk about it, but it just doesn't feel like there's as much meat on the bone because, it was kind of squashed right away. So I think it's the right way to handle it, even if it's not true, right? Even if it's not actually the case. So, I think that's the right way to do it because, A, you don't really know. Probably at this stage of how healthy he is, especially if you're answering questions right after the game. And then B, you can, if a guy is healthy, say, yeah, we're going to give him another week to be healthy. And that gives you yet another week to evaluate, whether or not you're doing the right thing, by sticking with him rather than playing Mason Rudolph.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the 6-0 Ensworth Tigers. They got a big game this week with the team. What is the team out of Florida?
Out of Florida, yeah. We got some Derek Mason looking guys, as high schoolers.
So they got a beard and everything.
Did you have a beard in high school?
Yeah. They look like grown men out there.
Yeah. I was like, I didn't know DK Metcalf played high school football.
Good luck.
They have some really good players. They had to be a fun challenge for our kids.
Well, good luck to you guys. It's at home, right?
Yeah, it's at home.
Yeah, so
yeah,
good luck. So everybody comes out. Everybody go out and watch the game because they're going to need the support over there at the high school. So, but Tim, in this situation, because before the game and leading up to the game, I said, listen, I think it comes a time where I know you want to be a passing team as a coordinator, and that's what they brought you in here for. That's why you got the job, because of what you were able to help construct there in Cincinnati with Joe Burrow. But it has to come. It has to come to a point where everybody in the room reads it well and reads it right. As far as, okay, now we got to take the ball away from the quarterback. Now we got to start handing the ball off. What are those conversations like with the OC and the quarterback when, at the beginning of the season, you envisioned, okay, we want to be more heavy pass. But then as you started to get into the season, you realize, like, man, I need to find a way to take the ball out of the quarterback's hands.
Yeah, I think you just have to do that in a way where it's like, it's not about taking the ball out of the quarterback's hands as much as it is saying, all right, like, what are we good at doing? You know, what are you good at throwing? Like, what runs are we good at running? And how do we marry that stuff together? And, you know, I think that, you know, because the league is so competitive, you know, you're not – I mean, look at the Packers. Like, the Packers just spent 2 weeks with Malik Willis. You know, I think they threw it 33 times in the two games where he was the starter. So, you know, whatever. You know, they don't throw it very often in those two games. Then they throw it 51 times and lose the game this past week with Jordan Love as their starter. And so I do think that – you know, it doesn't have to be, hey, we're giving you, you know, all of this influence on the game, and we're going to drop back 50 times. And it also doesn't have to be, hey, we're removing the ball from you because we don't trust you. You know, I just think that there's a very easy way to plan and explain and coach through, look, this is just what we're better at doing at the moment. And I think the Packers were like a perfect example of that, just on this like small little snapshot of games when they had Malik Willis. And so I think every team, you know, should approach it that way. And like, D-Mace, like you've been on teams where it was like, look, like, yeah, we're throwing the ball a bunch, or you know what? Like, we got a really good running back, and we're going to run the ball a lot, and we've got offensive line that are, you know, that are built for that, or it just works better because of, you know, what our defense is dealing with right now. So I really don't know that it ever has to be like, hey, even if it's, again, back, even if it is true, like, hey, we're actually going to remove you from the game a little bit because we're going to rely that's our desire in terms of how we're planning it. I just don't know that ever needs to be, you know, said or even felt by the quarterback.
Now, how do you, as a coach, and you know, whether it be, you know, offensive coordinator or quarterback coach, and you have a quarterback like Will Levis that you're trying to give him opportunities to sort of make plays, but yet and still, each and every game, with the exception of his first game he ever played here in Nashville, he seems to make these same mistakes over and over again. Like the mistake he made last night. He said he didn't see the guy. I don't know how he didn't see that guy, but he said he didn't see that guy. But these are the same mistakes that he has been making over and over and over again. And people always point to, well, Brett Favre made those mistakes. Well, Holmgren understood that. Listen, Brett Favre is a talent. He is a tremendous talent, and we're going to allow him to throw himself out of these mistakes that he's making, because he could throw three or four interceptions, but he also can throw three or four touchdowns in the same process. Will Levis isn't that guy, so how do you coach that out of him, if you can coach it out of him?
Yeah, well, I would say, and you probably heard this term too, like in the NFL, like be who you can afford to be, right? Like Brett Favre could – you know, do some crazy stuff, because it was like there was a lot of crazy stuff he did that worked out, right? Mm-hmm. So you're exactly right. Like, that's the difference is, you know, the the production along with the mistakes, like that equation has to balance. And, you know, it's not with Will Levis right now. Like the bad plays are not being balanced out by, you know, the really remarkable plays. And so, you know, I think in terms of coaching it out of him, it's hard because you're trying to win games. And these are, you know, decisions where it's like, you actually do know better. Cause like, as soon as you throw it, like, you know, those to me are harder than the ones where it's like, they tricked you. They disguised a coverage and fooled you, but now you've seen it. Now you can learn from it. Like, that is to me an easier correction. Like, that's an easier fix than a guy making a mistake that he already knows is wrong. And so, like, how do you coach him out of it? You give him the opportunities, but at some point, you run out of the opportunities that you can give the player, and you've got to move on.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, I feel like the dilemma for the coaching staff for the Titans is going to be, do we give Will Levis the 20-plus starts to allow him to grow out of this? Or do we look at Mason Rudolph and do we look around the league and say, you know what, playing good defense and just playing mistake-free football can work and win you more games? But I guess the question really boils down to, what do they think the ceiling is starting 0-3 with Mason Rudolph going the rest of the way? I think that's probably the crux mm-hmm. of the dilemma.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, because if you're 2-1 or you're 1-2 or you're, you're in a situation where you're like, man, it's so early and we just fixed this, like, we're going to be right in the thick of it. And it probably is still too early, no matter, you know, how, you know, poorly you've started in the NFL with how long the season is now. But I think if you just look at the landscape of the AFC, if you just weigh that a little bit, what you can't have happen is you can't finish 500 or worse and not really know what you have in Will Levis. Like, that's the, like, you can't allow that to happen. So I do think that's, you know, probably also part of, you know, Brian Callahan's answer of, no, he's going to be our guy, because, like, look, we need him to play 10 games this year to figure out how we feel about him. Like, that literally might be the plan. Like, he needs to do that in order for us to know. And so I don't want to say that in a way to say that, like, they're not competing to be a playoff team, because I do think that still is the ultimate goal. But, like, they have other goals inside that goal. And I think evaluating the quarterback is one of them.
What do you think, though, when you do look around the league and you see Justin Fields, a reclamation project? You know, he's not excelling, but he's playing Steeler football, giving him a little wrinkle, doing what he does well here and there. And they're 3-1. Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield. These guys are sort of the lower paid guys who are brought in with not a lot of expectations, but their teams have been successful. Joe Flacco last year with the Browns is an example. There is a way to be somewhat effective without this, you know, chasing the dream of having the elite quarterback.
I completely agree, and I would also say this. All the guys that you mentioned, okay, Geno Smith, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, and while they were high picks, I mean, even Geno, a second rounder, you know, they were guys that, like, came in, maybe weren't in awesome situations, struggled. People kind of wrote them off as they weren't any good. But I think that they probably matured, learned, all of that stuff. But I also don't think with all three of those guys, nobody was chasing, like, the absurd physical talent with them. They were all, like, good, productive quarterbacks in college. And it was their production, not some outlying physical characteristic, that made them good prospects. And I say that because I think that there is something to just being able to play the position, right? And then, and you know, Anthony Richardson's got these amazing physical characteristics, but he hasn't played the position a whole lot. I think, and now we're seeing he's having a hard time staying healthy, and like, it's difficult. The same thing with like Trey Lance, like outlying physical characteristics, but hasn't played the position a lot. Like, I just think you start to look at guys that you know, Geno Smith, like really smart, really efficient, like they're playing good football. Like, and I think that type of play gives you a chance rather than saying, oh man, this guy can throw it to the moon. Isn't that great? It's like, well, no, it's not great if you're not making layups, right? Like I do think that that's a big part of playing the quarterback position. It isn't always the sports center plays that matter. Sometimes it's just like the routine plays that sustain drives.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us as he does every Tuesday. Hopefully, Tim, the next time we speak to you, you'll be undefeated 7-0 coach of the Ensworth Tigers.
I hope so. We got our work cut out. I'm going to need the support this weekend. So, D. Mace, come on. Bring your friends. Okay, let's go. Come on out. Willie, more than welcome. Like, let's go. Let's get it done. Let's back the house.
All right. I hear you. I'm going to make a lot of noise.
All right, that sounds good. Bring your cowbell. All right.
Good luck, Tim. Thanks. We'll chat next week. Tim Hasselbeck joining us as he does every week. We'll quickly react to something that Tim just said. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.